Do you believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's everything that we had need of this morning. He's our shield, our protector. He's our healer, our father, our mother. Everything that we had need today, it is all in him. In Jesus. Amen. Thank you, musicians. I was going to try to sing a song, but forget it. That's out of the way. Maybe we can try later on. So, let's look at Romans 8:28. You guys can put that one up if you can. So how are you guys doing this morning? Amen. Do you like the rain? Oh, yeah. It's very refreshing. So we want that rain comes down here too. Yeah. The rain of the Holy Ghost, so we can live here refreshed. Yeah. That's what I came. I want to live here refreshed. I don't want to live here the way I came in. Tired and weary. And I want to live here refreshed. I need him to come and give me some energy. Give me a booster. The week was rough. But it doesn't matter. He is my strength. I'm not counting on my own strength. He is my strength. And I need him this morning. Romans 8:28. It says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How many of you love God today? Of course, to them who are the call according to his purpose. The only way you can love God is because he called you. See, you cannot love God unless he himself loves you first. So the reason you can love God is because you are the call. So if you are the call this morning, you are in the right place. So you can love God the way he wants to be loved. Only the bride knows that. Only the wife knows how the husband, how to take care of the husband, how to love the husband. Amen. So let's go to pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have in this side of time to be a service to your people, to be a testimony, Lord, to be a vessel of clay standing here, Lord, doing your bidding, Father. It is not me, but it's you, Father. Help me to get out of the way. Father, you take control from the pulpit to the back door, every heart that came, me, Father, take control of everything this morning. Father, and speak to us because that's what we want. I need you to speak to me, Father. Father, I need to come out of here changed. I don't care if it's big or small, but I do not want to live the same way I came. I need you. We need you this morning. Grant it, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. It's getting warm. It was cold outside, 64. What happened? You guys are dynamos of heat. That's what happens. And the more, that's good. We like you. We love you. Oh, no nail. Huh? That's what's in the other pulpit. So we're going to talk this morning about change. But my title on my sermon is Transitions. But we're going to talk about change. This morning, Brother John and I was praying. He was praying. He was leading. I asked him to do that. And one of the things he mentioned, he says, God, we need to be changed. I don't want to live here the same way I came. That came out of his lips. See? The Holy Ghost is inspiring him. We don't want to live the same way we came. We need a change. In actuality, change is the only thing that is stable. I don't care what you do. Change will be with you all the way until a change of a body. So you cannot get away from it. The Bible says we go from glory to glory to glory. That's a process. When it ends, when this thing give away and let, you know, the real me come forward. That's the change that I'm looking. That's the last change I'm looking for. In the meantime, we're going to go from glory to glory, change, 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 change. You cannot get away from that. Just a way of life. And I'm glad it's that way. Because we need to change. Now, there's one thing about changes or change. Change is a process. I just told you, it's a process. And the process is called transition. So this happens in your life every day. You like it or not, you're going through a transition because you're going through a change. So as soon as you realize what's going on in your life, the sooner you get out of that turmoil, you know, that goes in our life, and then come to the other side. In a different person, new, refresh. We're going to see that in a minute, but changes. Let me give you the definition of transition, because that is the process that God uses for a change. And a transition, I looked at it, I think it's right here. Praise the Lord, don't be too quiet on me. We're just getting started anyway. Let's see what I put over here. He says, it is the process or a period of changing. See? From one state or condition to another. So you cannot never live here the same way you left. Either you're going to live one way or you live the other way. There's no middle point here. Either we live better or we live worse. It's your choice. It's my choice. It is God's grace to us. His word. And we need to embrace it because we need to be changed. I like to be changed. There's no, you know, center point. You know, I'm just holding. I ain't going nowhere. Well, there's no such a thing. There's not an absolute zero. You know, balance. You have a balance. You got a zero, one, minus one. You know, it's impossible for a man to be that perfect, to create a balance that has an absolute that is, you know, I'm standing here. I'm not left or right. There's no way. Balance are not that good. And you cannot stand this morning and say, I'm just holding. I'm in the center. In the center of what? In the center of this or in the center of that. But you are not holding anything. You're either moving forward or you're either moving backwards. There is no standing. There's changing is what it is. So that says from one condition to another. Now, so we have a transition. That's a process. Now, a transition has three phases or three steps. Everything that God do is in three. God perfect himself in threes. So, there's three all over the place. Everything has been perfect. It's all threes. So, since you and I, we are human and we don't like changes, you know, we buckle against changes. We like to be nice and steady, you know, and comfortable about my work and my car and my money and my job and my car and my children's. You know, I'm good. Don't rock the boat. We don't like the boat to be rocked. But you're going to be, you know, shake sometimes because change is inevitable. There's going to be changes. You like it or not. So enjoy your little time when things are going good. That is not going, if you stay here long enough, it's not going to last too long. Because one thing comes, then you settle. And that's enjoy it because the next one is coming. Because we are going to be that way until a change of a body. I'm glad God made it that way. But this one thing. What triggers a transition is a problem. God wants to change you. So he needs to trigger a problem that is very customized to each one of you. So you can get in your transition and move on. Because if it's up to you and me, we don't move on. We don't get ourselves desperate for anything. God has to make me desperate. Brother Brown says, everything that I have done, God has to make me do it. Why? Because we don't want to. We don't like changes. We like the status quo. It feels good. This is nice here. Nice atmosphere. Check, check, check. Well, enjoy it while you feel that way. It won't be too long that things are changing in your life. Problems. And God has a problem for each one of you. God will customize your own problems. He knows what you need and how it needs to be changed. and he will customize some kind of a test for you to go through. So at the end, you will come out shining. Now, three phases of transition. Ending. This is the first time I start something with the end. You know, usually we start with the start, but we're going to finish with the start. That's the last phase. You start something new. You start afresh. You know, but first is ending. The middle is called confusion. You know what is called confusion? Because you don't want to get in that middle. You know, the middle is it's just like a dream, a nightmare. You know, you don't know you up. You don't know you down. You are confused. What's going on? What I have done? I mean, I don't think, why God is blaming me? What I'm going through this? Then you get all confused, and then you get in despair, and then in that confusion, you get frustrated because you don't know what to do. You don't have any solution. You don't know what God is doing, because God will not tell you everything. If he will tell you, then. So God wants you to trust him in that confusion state and trust him that he will take you all the way out. Now, when you out, you can look back and say, ah. But in the meantime, you cannot figure what the change is going to do to you. You don't know what the program of God is doing. God do not reveal everything to his prophet. So you're in a turmoil, you know. And you're going back and forward. And then you get depressed. You get oppressed. You get stressed. And you don't see the light. You get in such a darkness. What should I do? Try to find solution. How can you find a solution to something that you don't know is going to end? How will you tell God, I'm going to solve this problem, but you don't know what God is doing with you? You cannot find solution to your end. You can find a solution to what you are living and find out why. I'm going to get there. So you have to end something. God sometimes is chipping away, you know, like the masterpiece. God said, well, this piece is not good. You know, like Michelangelo, he saw Moses in the rock. And he started chipping away the part that wasn't. See, and that's what God is doing to you and me. Well, John, we're going to go through a little test. This is your problem. I got to chip this away, and I don't know how to do it. In fact, I know what it's going to take to do these things. So suddenly, your boat is rocked. You get problems. And then you try to figure out what. And you try to blame everybody for the problem. That's one of the things. Because you don't think you have done anything wrong. But this is not the time to figure out what's right and what's wrong. When you get into that, you need to figure out, I need to end something and I don't know what it is. This come to my life, this test, for some reason. I need to examine myself, find out what God wants me to do, what God wants to chip away to end in my life, so I can then wait and move forward. So transitions are something that we need to welcome every day in every small little thing. Just like big things, just like the small little things. Everything is a transition. My wife was giving a testimony. That's a small transition. God needed to do something on her. Something needed to be changed. Something needed to be that we don't look at it that way. And that's what I'm trying to help you to consider these things. Because that is what's happening. We're going to get to it. This church is going to a transition. Everything in the world is going to a transition, like it or not. In order to change from point A to point B, you have to have a transition. We don't like transitions because we get into a place that we don't know what's going on and why this thing is happening. Why do I have to do this? I was so nice here, you know, so comfortable. God wants to get you out of that comfort zone. We get too comfortable. Yeah? But God is doing something, and he has a plan for you. Right. He has a plan for me. Amen. And he knows how to bring about that plan in your life and my life. Different problems sometimes, not all the same. We're not cookie cutters, you know. You go to something, I go to something different. Amen. So my wife, like I said, it's an ending, a flat tire. Trip is ended. To that point, it's ended. Transition starts. Something is ending. Now she's in a confusion zone. What should I do?
Then she calls me. What is the insurance paper that's supposed to be in the car so I can call the insurance company to see what they can come and send somebody to fix a tire? I said, but it's there. I gave it to you last time. No, you didn't. I said, but let's not argue. You know, if we did it. Okay, I'm going to take a copy, and I'm going to take a picture, and I'm going to text you, you know, that, so you can call the company. So she calls the company, insurance company. And insurance company says, well, yes, okay, we're going to send somebody out there. In fact, Discount Tires is next to you. That's the one we use for that area. So go over there, or we're going to call them. So they did. And you know what happened? 6 o'clock, it's closed. She went to Walmart before that, and Walmart says, we're closing in 2 hours. We're not taking no more car. Close. Now she goes in a desperation. What am I going to do? You know, and she had her sister was with her, so she's worrying about everything. Not only that, how am I going to get home? Then she said, okay, I'll change the spare tire. So she went and looked at the spare tire, and she found no spare tire. I just got that car about a few years, and I haven't had a chance to even see if it has a spare tire. You see how God just, you think you find it so, I mean, you can do whatever you can do mechanically, possible, but when God starts slamming door, and then you go deeper and deeper, and then you find your way, you know, out completely. So she said, she calls me, what is the spare? I said, I don't know, it's supposed to be one, go and look at it. I can't find no spare. Well, I don't know, you want me to go and pick you up? No, no way. So she didn't find a spare. Walmart would not fix the tire. Discount tire is closed. So the lady from the insurance says, I can send a tow truck. You're paying for that. And she said, what do I need a tow truck? Where are they going to take me? Tucson? I'm in Casa Grande. You're going to take me to Tucson, you know? What, you're going to give me 10 miles free and then I have to pay for the rest? I said, what that a tow truck is going to do? So she's thinking, nothing is working. And she's getting more frustrated, and she's getting more confused. She don't know what to do. She had done everything that she know what to do. Right. See? And that she's hitting bottom. Everything is dark. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe wait until tomorrow, maybe. So what happened? She's still trusting God. But you do what you can do mechanically. Impossible for you. But when all the doors are shutting, now you need to trust God.
Right.
Because that's what God is trying to do. Trust me. I know you don't know where this is going, but I know. And I know what you have need of. That was a new tire, by the way. I don't send my car and my wife with a car with no tires, because that's what I'm afraid of. But it happened. She's parking, Circle K to get some coffee, I don't know what. And a piece of metal went right to the thing. When she came out, started making noise. She got out, and she said, wow. And then Walmart. See, God knows what he's doing. Walmart was across the street. See? It didn't happen in the middle of the highway, in nowhere. God is doing something. Even to that detail, he knows what he's doing. Finally, about 6 o'clock, one more hour, Walmart was going to close at 7. And at 6, the guy seen them over there, I guess. I almost said that he felt compassionate or something. That wasn't the guy. That was God. God is moving pieces, see? I told my wife, that's no luck. There's no law. God is doing something, and you need to find out what he's doing and what he wants you to do. Trust him. Because that's all you can do. When you're in that confusion zone, the only thing you can do is trust God. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to try to do it? Do you know where you're going? Do you know how this is going to end? No, you don't. You think you know, but you don't. In fact, you try more, and the more you try, everything is shutting. And then you get more confused, and then you go into darkness. Like, oh. So the guy comes out about 6 o'clock. They're supposed to close at 7. He said, I cannot take you 2 hours because we're not taking no more. But he came and says, Mama, I'm going to fix your tire. I think I have time to do it. See? In another hour, she was home. But see, that is God. There's a change. Small, big changes. If this is working, take a big change, hop, you know, a job or hop in Spanish, whatever you want to call him, hop alone or whatever. Anyway, so this guy had everything. He had castles. He has properties. He has all kind of animals. He has fields. He has servants. He has good clothes. I mean, the guy's rich, richer than anybody. But one day he's on top of the mountain, and then the next day he fell off the mountain and went down to the valley. Everything he has, the houses are burned, properties are taken, slaves are killed, children. I mean, God took the rug and swept it out of his feet. Something ended. Transition starts. And there's a change coming. But he didn't know. He got so frustrated, so confused, and so depressed that he went to a deep depression, so dark that he couldn't, he even cursed the day he was born. I mean, he got to that point that, you know, I don't know what to do. The wife said, just curse and die. He says, no, that's what Satan wanted. See, Satan creates situations. God allows Satan to bring the problems, to create situations, same spirits. For what? To see what you're going to do. He was there, sitting in his ashes. His dream was shattered. Now it became a nightmare. That's what he was afraid. God needed to deal with that guy. He had a fear, the Bible said. And the fear came true. Down in his ashes, his health was taken away. What else he had left? See? Ending. Now he don't know what's next. He's confused. Why all this is happening to me? And if it's happening to me, how far this is going to go? How long? And after it's done, what is going to happen? It's not going to be the same. He lost everything. Amen. So now he's in a state of confusion. His friends come to him and says, not only you are sick in your body, but you have a secret sin. He lost his friends. He lost everybody. Criticized and told everything. He says, nevertheless, he was just waiting. Yeah, it's all right to complain. Well, we human beings, we feel the pain. I'm not saying that Job should not complain and curse his day. I mean, we human beings, we do it. Okay, I do it. So, so here is Hope sitting down, or Job, or Hope, whatever, sitting down, and he says, and he just as low as he could get. He couldn't get no lower than that. He's already sitting in the ground, so he ain't going no further than that. Yeah, sometimes that's what happened. God wanted to knock us down to the ground. See? He hasn't done anything wrong. He didn't sin. You know that. But God is working something in his life. And everything that happened to you, it's not because you done something wrong. No? Jesus said, they asked Jesus when he healed the blind eyes of this guy. He says, the disciples said, who sinned? Him or his father? Because the Bible said that God will visit the sin to the third, fourth generations. So that's what they think. That's their mentality of the Jew. He must have done something. Or his family must have done something. And now it falls on him. So what happened is, Jesus said, no one sinned. This is for his glory. God is going to get a glory out of this thing. See? And you and I, we need to have the same mentality. See? When we are going through things, it is not that I am wrong. It is not that he's wrong. It is not that all things are wrong. God is doing something. And if you wait on God, he will take you through. Amen. Stop trying to find solutions. Stop trying to find who to blame. Stop being miserable. That's what happened in that confused song. You get miserable. You get miserable because things are not going your way. They used to. That ended. God is doing something. Well, I don't feel the same way I used to feel before when I come to church. Well, just wait. You know? Pray. Ask God to examine your heart. See what's going on. You, with this little pin on mine, will not figure it out. And if you do, it's going to get worse. I'm going to tell you right now. Why don't you let go and let God? Actually, let go and let God, because that's what God is wanting. You like it or not, that's where we're going. Either we trust God or either we don't trust God. We don't need to be running. The confusion time is not the confusion time to be running somewhere else. You know why? When you get that, you're going to have another change.
Right.
And you're not going to like it after a while. Right. Maybe things going all right, but sooner or later, if you are a child of God, there's going to be another change.
Right.
And you're going to run again? Every time it's a change, are we going to run or are we going to face the challenge?
Right.
And say, God, I know that you're in control of my life. You're in control of everything. You even rule for my own purpose. That's what he did with the Israel 72. He ruled the entire world for 72 people. We need to get to a position that we do not panic when the problems comes. Yeah, some people get so panicked that the first thing they do is whatever comes to their mind. One time this is kind of gross anyway, but one time my brother-in-law got shot in the house. So somebody called, my sister-in-law called. And they said, okay, let's go over there. So we went over there. So as soon as we opened the door, he's in the kitchen and it's blood. And as soon as my sister-in-law saw it, I don't know what happened. I just trying to see if he's alive and call one, help him somehow. I don't stress in those situations. I've been in war. I'm well shaped by now. I don't faint when I see blood or dead people. Anyway, I've already been through that. So I checked him. He's still breathing. He's fine. His blood. I didn't want to touch anything. So I'm looking for my sister-in-law so I can tell her, just call 911. Help me here. And I look around, she's gone. And I said, where is that girl went? So I go outside, and she was a block away, like screaming for help. I mean, she lost it. I said, get over here, will you? I mean, she went, when she saw that, she panicked. So she lost it. It's not a time to lose it, friends. In fact, when Satan comes as a flood, you should just stand. Because you are the standard. We don't run.
Right.
We face a challenge. We face Satan. Why? Because we got the goods. And he knows that. So, finally she got to the house. Will you call 911? Get some help. Okay. So anyway, came in. He's okay. That was years ago. The bullet went through and didn't touch any arteries or lungs or anything. So he went back. He's fine anyway. That was years ago, maybe 20 years, I don't know. But she panicked, This church is going through a transition as a body. You go through one every day as a person. But this church is going through a transition, and I'm going to get there sooner or later. It's no time to be panicky. God is doing something. So he sends the spirit into the church, All kind of doctrines comes into a church like a wind and see who is, Satan's trying to see who is going to go with these winds. And he sends a storm. Wind is not hard enough. Let's send a storm, a hurricane. And let's see how many we can blow away. I will huff and puff until somebody, I can get him to get weak and panic. And I can take him out. Separation. That's what he wants, separation. So we are going through a transition. It's not the time to panic.
Right. Right.
And if this is a spirit in the church, it's not your brother or sister.
Right.
It is the devil, Brother Brown says.
Right.
So don't blame somebody else.
Right.
Just figure out what God is doing.
Right.
Stay put. Stand on that rock and figure out what's going on.
Right.
And if there's anything to find a solution, it's how you're going to end.
Right.
Something that is already ending. God already started it. It's going to end. So find out how you can find some closure. Find out what you need to do. Life you need to mend.
Right.
Something you done. Intentional.
Right.
Find out you need to have closure.
Right.
In that end before you can move to something new.
Right.
That's what God wants you. Cut off all that stuff.
Right.
So if you want to find a solution, look at the ending. And get to pray. Find out what I can do. Not to be a big problem again or add to the problem, but see what can I do as a solution so I can find closure. And we all can find closure. Finally, we wait on God. And I think we have something. We are waiting for something big. God says, I need to do something with this group. So Satan, go and burn the church. That's your problem. That church ended for right now. But it's because God is doing a transition. Now we are all confused. Satan throws everything at it. And now it's everybody's in despair. Everybody's against everybody. Not everybody, but, you know, some or whatever. I'm not against anybody. In fact, I'm here because you. You know, I'm here because I need you. I'm not, yeah, of course, I'll give up to find God. But what is God? So the only reason I'm here is because I love you. And I need you in my life. That's why I don't stay home. Well, look at the wolf. What the wolves are going to do for me? I want to be here. So you can help me. Because without you, I ain't going anywhere. So let me help you. And let's help each other so we can get out of here as soon as possible. We are in a transition. Let's see what we're going to do in this transition. Let's get to pray. Let's get to pray for the pastor. If he's wrong, pray for your pastor. Don't accuse anybody. Pray. It is the spirit of Satan that is had to be drawn out, not the people. I live in a, you know, in Puerto Rico. It's a hurricane zone. Z-O-N-E. Zone. Anyway, it didn't sound good to me in my ears. Anyway, but, and I don't take this wrong. When the hurricane season comes, it moves the water, the oceans, the seas. And the closer they get, the storm gets to the seashore, the sand star, and the trash star. You know, that is the way that God will clean the beach. Uh-huh. That is all. All this turmoil, all this trouble just to clean up. Right. I'm not calling anybody trash. I'm saying all the trash that is in the bottom of the sea comes out. The only trash here is the spirit, the bad spirit of Satan.
Right.
See?
Right.
And that's the only trash that I want out of here.
Yeah.
Okay? But you have to go through a storm. God had to check you. God had to check the church. God has to do whatever he needs to do to check this thing out of here. So when we find ourselves in that situation and we're all confused and we don't know what happened, just wait. Stand. Let God. And you will see, you know, the good thing that God is doing for our life and for this church. I believe this, and brother already said it, brother Doug, this transition is going to end before we go to that church, and we're going to start a new beginning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, this that we are going through right now, we need to get together and face it together. There's no time to be accusing or trying to, but it's my fault, it's your fault, you're wrong, you're right. It is time that we get together and squeeze the trash out of here.
Right.
I mean, not the people. Satan trash.
Right.
Because that's all it is. And trust God. As a body. As a body. Problems is what signals for transition in life. So when you're having problems, you know what's coming. See, that's what I want to teach you. Don't start running around like a chicken with your head cut off. When you start having problems, you know what's coming.
Right.
Something is ending, and something is going to be better after. That's what I read you. I read you that quote. All things work for good to those that love God. All things, not just some. All things. So if you get into this ending and you get in the confusion, don't worry about it. Hang on. Because sooner or later, God will deliver you. And he will take that and use it for your own benefit and your own purpose. And you will be better at this end than you was at this end. So don't panic and don't run around. And just hold fast. Stay fast. You know? Worship God. Even if you feel it or not. It doesn't matter if you feel it. We don't go by feeling. Just come and worship your Lord. And if he wants to bless you, he will bless you. He will send a spirit of refreshment. He will do what he needs to do. But you cannot dictate God terms. Dictate God what terms you are going to do this. God, if I go and if I'm good, if I do this, will you do this for me? You don't tell God what to do. And give him terms.
God, I will do this, this, this. I will go to church. I will do this. If you take out this, this. You know, he's laughing at you. Because God has another plan for you. You don't even know your own heart. How will you come up with anything that is a winning solution? No, but God knows. He knows exactly how to handle things so your life will be better at the end of the transition. So we move forward in this transition. Let me give you some rules of transition. Let's see how to move. The first one is an ending. And I already told you that. And sometimes the whole way of being, you know, the status quo, you know, the way we are, you know, everything is going peachy. See? If we stay that way, you know what happens? We get too comfortable.
Right.
And then God wants to move. But we are too comfortable because, you know, this is my little box here. And if God wants to move, he better get in the box with me. You know, you wanted me back, go out the gates. That's why he was crucified. You want to meet God, you have to go out of your box and go and meet God. Once you see him, then something will be different. So sometimes you have to, the whole way of thinking, you just have to end that. See, you're not supposed to be thinking anyway. You're supposed to arrest all any thought that comes against the word of God, any imagination. So who told you you can think? You know? We lost our lives. We're dead in Christ. The old man is dead. So what kind of a thinking you bring in? That's sometimes the problem. You cannot serve mammon and God at the same time. Either you let go one, end one, and move, and you know, because you will hate one and you will love the other one. So when you end, you end. When we was in the world and we needed salvation, you know, you had a decision to make. You either end it all and embrace the salvation and God's grace, but you cannot serve two masters. And that is everything with your life today. That hasn't changed. When something comes to your life, something is ending, close it, leave it, and move forward. God wants you to go forward, to march forward. We don't need to go back. I'll give you an example that I'm going to use tonight. Orpha and Ruth. They had a choice to make. Orpha said, I'm going back. You know, I'm not going back. I ain't going back, you know. It's too late for me to go back.
Right.
See? That's the song that we sing. I ain't going back.
Amen.
Don't make no sense. But Orpha said, you know, well, okay. You know, Orpha was the kind of Christian that had she didn't have a possession. She didn't have no faith. But she had a she professed to be a Christian. And when things got bad, you know what happened? She said, I go back. You know how some people do that? That's what Brother Brown says about Naomi. When things got bad and the famine and the husband, instead of sticking it out like everybody else, they left the church. That's what Brother Brown says. They left the church. I'm not talking about this church because the church is universal. It's a mystical body. They left the promised land. And they said, let's try it over there. Well, what happened? God ended that too. The father died. The sons died. And now we start a new transition. Back to where? To where you're supposed to be anyway. If you are a son of God, God is going to drive you back. He will create situations that you have no choice but to come back. Because if you're a child, he wants you back. He will not let you too long out there. But Ruth, she had a profession. And she said, you know, I don't care. I don't care who criticizes me when I get to that land because, you know, the strangers, Moabites and Jews, they don't mix. I don't care who criticizes me. I don't care who talk bad about me. I don't care what happened. I don't care. But I want the promised land. Today, I said, I want the Holy Ghost. Nothing is going to stop me, Naomi. Don't ask me to leave. I already read. You already taught me. You know what? I want the Holy Ghost. And nothing is going to stop me. Orpha said, well, I take the second best. Ain't no second best.
She went back to the nomination, to her idols and things. And now, and Ruth said, I want the promised land that is our Holy Ghost. And you know what? Once she made her mind and made a decision to cut off all that, not that she didn't care about mom and dad and the country and everything. You know, I do care about dad and my mom and Puerto Rico and all that stuff. But you know what? I want more than that. I love you, and I love Divine, and I like to come every week, but I want more than that. I love to worship. I love to do this. I love to minister, but I want more than that. I don't want to stop there and get comfortable. I want more, and until I get to a change of body, I will not stop. Let everything come. I will not stop. I'm a man that is, on a mission. I want to change everybody. And nothing is going to stop me. Ruth said, I don't care what happens. I don't care about back there that I'm already left. I ain't going back to the world. I'm going forward. And I'm going to the promised land. Because after the promised land is the millennium. See, we get the Holy Ghost and rapture. She knew what she was. She must have had a faith that looked beyond what Orpha was looking at. So we don't want to be like Orpha. We want to be like Ruth. Make the decision. You either love the world or that you love God, the things of the world. But you cannot do both. We have to cut. In church, we're going through a transition. We need to cut all this mess. It doesn't matter what it's doing to you. It doesn't matter what it's doing to the congregation. It doesn't matter what it's doing to the... It doesn't matter. What matters is that we are going through a transition. And all things here in this confusion will work for good sooner or later. I know that because he promised to me. There's a change coming. There's a change coming. Get up and just challenge. That's devil. That's telling you. No, this is bad. That's bad. No, they don't like you. They don't love you. They don't check you. Oh, my goodness. So we're going to a transition. And we're going somewhere. Transition will take you from point A to some point B. And then when you get to point B, you get another transition that might take you to point C and to point D until you get back to who you were. The rapture. Developing the... Sometimes, we are so busy developing our lifestyles, and we think we got it, Oh, I'm an engineer, or I'm whatever, and I'm this and that. I got my wife, I got kids, I got house, I got car. I did that. When I came to America, I said, I want to fulfill the American dream. Oh, they told me I could. So I did. But I wasn't satisfied when I got there. I was missing something, and God knew that, so he kept pulling, and this is where I am right now. But I had to leave the American dream, cut that off. I don't care about the American dream. Actually, the American dream is a nightmare right now. I prefer to take his dream than the American dream. But see, God has brought me this far. I had gone through many transitions, and I'm not done yet. I want to get to the last one. That transits me to the change of a body. That's the last transition that I want. In the meantime, I will go forward. I will move forward. And then, it's a period of confusion, distress, oppressed, stress, despair. Trying to cope with the ending. That's one thing we need to do. As long as we continue thinking about it, and dwelling about it, you can just get deeper and deeper and deeper in it. We need to cope with this thing. God, examine my heart. What do I need to do? Running is not an option. Getting upset is not an option. Blaming somebody is not an option. Let's see what I need to do to close this thing. Because until you close, you are moving forward. The longer you hold, the worse it gets in that confusion zone. And the longer you continue dwelling and thinking in things, just stretch your hands and give up and say, God, this is over my head. I don't know what's happening. I don't know how this is going to turn. I don't know what happened here, there. Lord, I surrender all. Tell me what to do. And whatever it is that I need to do to close, to move forward. Because until that is taken care in here, you're going to continue. You know, it's just like I live in Puerto Rico for many years, and we have, the ocean. I like the beach out there, and I like to swim. I'm not a good swimmer, but I like to swim. We used to go in the pier about a mile away and jump in the way out there and then swim all the way back until we get tired. We did it. And one time I got so tired about, swimming. And then you have to deal not only with the, your strength. You get exhausted, you're tired, but now you have waves that are coming. And if you're smart enough, you know how to ride a wave. You know, you just get stiff as a board, surfing board, and in the right time, you have to make your move, and you can glide all the way almost to the end. Well, it had to be synchronized, right? I have experience. I've done it many times. But this time, I was tired, and I missed the wave. And you know what happened when you miss? You get taken over and under. And when you're under there, you don't know what's up. You don't know what's down, what's left, what's right. The sand is all over the place. Don't open even your eyes to see where you are. You will not see where you are. You know what you need to do in the time of turmoil? Just wait. Just be patient. Just trust God. Because that thing don't last, well, at least that wave don't last for a second, so me, not even a minute. Just hold your breath, close your eyes, and stay still. And wait for God, right. Salvation. So I do. I already know. So I say there, the water will toss me left, will toss me right. I don't know which way to swim. I don't know what's up, what down. When the thing pass over and I'm left behind and everything becomes calm, now I can jump back up. And that's what we need to do. When the storm comes, when you're in problem, when all these things happening, there's no time for you trying to struggle to get out. You won't get out. You get deeper into it. And you might drown. Hopefully not. Because there's two solutions to this thing. Either you come out dead or you come out alive. It should depend on you. But you're smart enough like I am. That's not saying much, but you're smart like I am. You let go. And you let God. You just sit still and wait for the salvation that is going to come. And you, sooner or later, it will pass over you. And then, finally, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you just follow that. And then now you can look back and say, wow, that was all about. I'm glad. What time I have? I got a few more minutes. It's not even 12 o'clock. So, it's a period of confusion, distress, coping with an ending. A feeling of emptiness. You get to that point where you just feel empty. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to praise the Lord. You're just empty. It's like you don't have nothing left. See, we do not know where we are now, and we don't know where we're going. That's enough to make you go crazy. I mean, if you start thinking about it, why don't you let God, finish his work, and then it won't be no more questions. But in that position, in that confusion, you don't know up or down where you're going and how this is going to end. So why try to figure things out? The next thing is a new beginning, an ending, a confusion, a new beginning. Recognizing that letting go and let God is the best and clear answer in every situation, in every transition. You do what you can, but God will do the rest. And I got four rules of transition, but I'm going to leave that for tonight. But I want to let you know that is what we need to do. It is not time to be worrying about things. My wife, I told her, you didn't need to worry about anything. Do what you could do, but don't worry. Because God has things in the control. And she did. Hope, everything was what? Giving back to him, double. So the ending was better than the beginning. Right. And that is going to happen here if you just plow through these things and we come together. Don't let that Satan come in between. The more he come, the more closer we get. And you know, we plow through this. The ending, I promise you, the ending will be better than the beginning. Why? Because he promised that all things will work for good, for my own benefits. And we can see the new light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. It's 12 o'clock. Stand. That's what's good when you preach about inspiration, because you don't have to, you know, fasten yourself on these notes. We are in a transition. There's many changes coming. This is not the first one. It won't be the last one. Until we get out of here, we are going to go changes. How willing are we to, instead of divide and separate, to come together to face as a body the challenges that comes? Every challenge that comes is a change. We don't want to change. Look at, I used to be nice and good looking and handsome and tall and fast and good. Look at me. It doesn't matter. You start changing from the point that you were born. You cannot help it. It might look ugly to you, but it doesn't matter how ugly it looks, the situation. Just make it through the change. And if the Lord turns, I have to look death in the face. And this is the last thing I will do if he don't come. But changes have to happen in me until I get to that point. I'm not going to let off. I told Brother Doug one time when I came to this church 10 years ago, whatever, 9, 10 years ago, I said, Brother Doug, if the Lord's turning, you're going to have to bury me. I want you to put me in the ground. Because I came here, and I don't come with the mentality, let me try to see if this is going to work. No, God sent me here to be and with Andy and be with Brother Doug and you guys. And when I came, you know, it's just like you getting married. You don't tell your wife, well, honey, let's try out before we get married. That's what people do. Let's try out, because if it don't work, there's no commitment. People don't like to make commitments. You know why? Because things change. But that's not the thing. Things are going to change. But that's not the time to run. That is the time to get together and find out what we're going to do. I'm not saying that anybody's running here. But what I'm saying, don't let your mind run at least. So I told my dog, that's it. When I came over here, I made a commitment. I'm not looking to leave. I don't like to go here and there and happen. I don't have. Only that I have. I don't have. And I know God sent me here. And if he wants to move me like he did from the Tucson Tabernacle, that's fine. God will do that. He put me in that mode. He will start that. I don't have to start anything. I don't have to worry. If God wants me out of here, he will put things in motion. And I will know. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and find out, you know, if this don't go right, I'm leaving. No. If something is ending, figure it out. Let God let you know. Lord, what are you doing? He's not going to show you the end, but at least so you can deal with and cope with that ending. Some people don't want to end. That's the problem. And they nurse it. And they nurse it. And the more you nurse it, the bigger it gets. And the bigger it gets, the worse it gets. We need to cut that off, whatever it is. And only God can show you that. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your care, Father. You know, I know you love us, Father. And that's why all these things are happening, because it is your love, and we love you, Lord. And we are called. And all things that happen to our life, that's what your word said, and we believe it. And if we believe it, we don't have to be being worried and running around. Because everything that happens to us as a body or as a person, it has a purpose. And it has a good purpose. There's no bad purpose. There's no destruction. In fact, it will be better at the end if we just hold on and pray and seek you. As the Bible said, you know, those that are led by the Holy Spirit and those that are led by the flesh leads you to death. Father, we don't have nothing coming to us, not even a thought I want your thought. I want your spirit to lead me through every situation. I want you taking me by the hand, Father. I cannot do this. I need you. Take me by the hand, Lord, and lead me, Father.
Amen.
Yes. The way you have purpose in your heart for whatever tests, for whatever things come. Listen, we don't need to get into a rut. Oh, my, this is worse. It's going to get worse. Well, you prophesying. That's what happened to Job. Prophesying comes true. This is something that is happening because something better is coming. Something better in the horizon. How long is it going to last? Not too long. We are on the last little phase of this transition. And we are going to meet that challenge head to head. We are not going to be scared. We are not going to be afraid. Why? Because love chases away that fear. And we love you, Lord. And we love each other. And no matter what we have to do, we have to keep it that way. We love you, Lord, and thank you for allowing us this moment. Thank you again for being with my wife, and thank you. Because it doesn't matter what situation we found ourselves, we know in whom we have believed. And we love you, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to concentrate so much in our flesh, in our ways. Sometimes that is what you want to cut off, our ways. Our ways, sometimes it seems right, but you know what? It's death at the end. I'm sorry. It's death at the end. I don't want my way. I don't want your way. I want God's way in my life. And I ask you this thing for this congregation as well. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. You are awesome, God. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. I've been changed. I don't know how. I wanted to sing that song. I've been changed. Something like that. I don't know. You started for me. Yes, that's the one.
Deliver.